This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipnah Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hey guys, Dipnah here, and I'm here with my good buddy, Derek Skye. As you can see, Mr. Lawyer here. Nice to have you on board.
Oh, happy to be here. What are we talking about today?
Well, I thought it would be good to talk about land tax.
Oh, it's always good to talk about taxes.
Well, if otherwise I'm talking to you about wills and dying.
Death and dying, that and sort of thing. Trust.
Being sued, yes. And asset protection.
All the good stuff.
I thought land tax today.
Let's talk about land tax, yeah. And in particular, land tax in New South Wales.
Let's talk about land tax first of all. Now, land tax is obviously levied on properties that you own. Normally not your PPR, but other properties that you own. And across the states, they have varying thresholds that if the underlying land value is less than that certain threshold, then you actually don't have to pay land tax. But when you own a lot of properties, obviously they all accumulate, and then the underlying land value is over the threshold, and you start paying land tax.
That's right, and the land tax might be a certain percentage or a sliding scale depending on the state that you're in.
Okay, so it varies across the board, and some states, particularly New South Wales and Victoria, are constantly whinging about land tax because it is extreme. I go back to when bloody Cheryl Kerno stuck a big nose into GST years and years ago. This is my biggest bugbear, this one. That when we got GST, the deal was, okay, we're going to do away with all the other taxes. Stamp duty, land tax, sales tax, all these other things were going to go because we'd have GST.
Well, they're probably going to get round to that any time soon.
Well, then she pipes up and says, oh, but we can't have GST on bread and milk. And the trade-off was we've now got stamp duty and land tax and all of these other taxes that were duties, taxes on imports, all sorts of things were going to go, which they're not. However, I'm over it now. No, I'm not.
It's good that you passed it, yeah.
So we're stuck with land tax. Now, the issue is how can we reduce land tax? So let's start with, say, Queensland. In Queensland, land tax can be reduced because by buying through a company trust structure, as we talk about in our group, there's the underlying land value. If it is under $350,000, then you don't pay any land tax. But the thing is, and this is the great thing about being an investor and accumulating properties, is when you have a company trust and property in there, and a company trust and property in there, and a company trust and property in there, you actually get the $350,000 exemption or threshold on each one. So by structuring correctly, just like we tell you to anyway, you're actually saving in land tax. And that's the case in some of the other states as well.
Yeah, Queensland's a big one because you can save so much that it can actually be worth the cost of setting up structures, additional structures.
Just to save land tax.
Yeah, just to save the land tax. You'll save more than the cost of the setup and running the trust each year. And sometimes it's worth setting up two trusts to buy one property so that you can split the holding between two trusts, get two thresholds.
You should never pay land tax at all.
Save the land tax.
That's exactly right.
So it can be a good strategy.
That's not the case in the other states, particularly New South Wales and Victoria.
Yes.
Now, in those states, basically, if you set it up into a structure's name, you end up paying land tax, well, in New South Wales from $1, and I think it's like from $25,000 or something in Victoria. So it's big. It's a big thing. Now, so let's now compare, because obviously we want people to have asset protection when they buy properties. And the trade-off is if you buy it in your own name, that investment property in New South Wales and Victoria, then the threshold is much, much higher. And in New South Wales, it's something like 600,000, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 692,000 is the new threshold in New South Wales. So a huge threshold if you own the property personally, but there's a big downside. You don't get the asset protection of a discretionary trust, and you don't get the ability to minimise income tax like you do with a discretionary trust.
That's right.
So you could own the property personally and save on land tax, but you've got those downsides as well.
And also, when you sell the property down the track, you'd be paying a lot more in capital gains tax.
Absolutely. You don't have that ability to split the capital gain that you've made between a variety of beneficiaries like you would in a discretionary trust.
So for your first one or two investment properties, you're probably slightly better off because you don't have the land tax in those first few properties. But once you get it up to three and four and more, you know, you're going to be paying land tax regardless because it's all cumulative. So you may as well have them structured and in the right entities.
Yeah, the, once you get past that threshold, certainly for all people, you know, discretionary trusts are the way to go. The other thing to bear in mind is that because land tax is an annual tax on holding of property, if you're turning properties over, if you're doing a deal where you're only holding it for a short period of time and then selling, then land tax isn't really the issue that you're looking at. It's that long-term hold. So for the first property or two, like you say, Dimna, you can consider whether you own it personally or whether you own it through what's called a land tax unit trust, which is another type of trust where you own the property through this particular unit trust, but then you own the units and your personal land tax threshold is available for the properties owned in that structure. So you can pass on...
That means you've got no asset protection.
Right. The units have to be personally owned. You can't own them through a discretionary trust. You own something of value. If you face liability, that value is exposed to your risk. So it's a huge compromise.
And that's only available in New South Wales?
It's a New South Wales feature. There, that possibility is available in Victoria as well, but it's very much a feature of the land tax unit trust. It's very particular to New South Wales because of that land tax threshold.
So let's look at the bigger picture here. Yes, you can save by having a land tax unit trust, but reality is you're not getting any asset protection anyway.
No, no.
And you're not getting any tax benefits. No, so what's the
tax
point?
Look, it can save money. So for a lot of people, I mean, obviously I'm a big fan of asset protection, but I do understand that a lot of people want to save that money. Between members of a couple, for example, if you're using the $692,000 threshold between both members of the couple, you might be saving up to $22,000 a year in land tax. All right, that'll be great if you save that land tax, as long as nothing goes wrong and there's no liability. Of course, if you had the liability, $22,000 might be cheap. To save, you know, the value of the property in that case would be $1.4 million unimproved land value. You know, that's the asset that you're looking to protect in that situation.
So really, we're only talking about the first couple of investment properties. After that, they should be in structures anyway because you're going to be paying land tax regardless. I would rather see you have the asset protection from dollar one. Yes, that first investment property might hurt because it's got land tax attached to it. But the second one, chances are, if it's Sydney properties, you're probably going to be paying land tax anyway on your second one, if not your third one, definitely, unless they're cheaper regional properties or something like that. But, you know, for the tax benefits and the ability to be able to have it asset protected, I obviously am favouring still the structures that give you all of those things. But we're really only talking about the first couple of properties.
Yeah.
After that, regardless, they should be in structures.
So it's really a matter of looking at your circumstances and crunching the numbers and making sure that you're comfortable with the situation, because you can save the land tax, you're going to be paying more in income tax, and you're compromising your asset protection.
That's right. And Victoria's very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's another reason also, I suppose, to diversify a little bit, because land tax is state-based, and if you are buying interstate, then it's going to be the land tax of that state that you're buying into that's going to be applicable, as opposed to, you know,
where you live. Yeah, and that's a common misconception. It's all about the state that the property is owned in, not where you live, not where your trust is set up.
Yep.
Those things are irrelevant. It's where the land is actually located.
So that gives you a little bit of a summary on land tax. There isn't a definitive, this is a magic wand and this is how you solve everything, but it is certainly something that you need to consider. You need to discuss it with your professionals, you know, your IPS
lawyers
people.
And accountants,
yep, absolutely. And get some advice around what your situation is and what even the longer-term picture of the deal is. Is it property you're only going to hold for a little while? Is it a long-term property? Is it forever property? Because all of those decisions are going to make a difference as to what structure you use to actually own them in.
Yeah, and it can be a challenge because you've got to gaze into the crystal ball and say, you know, what exactly are we going to do here?
Yep.
And you're not going to know exactly. Things change. So all you can do is make the best decision you can on the information you've got. Mm. And it, you know, once you're informed, you make that decision and then we can go from there.
That's right. Okay, guys, well, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed that little chat that we had on such an exciting topic called land tax.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dimna.
Bye now.